Right now, it's time to bring in Brian Ross. Brian joins us, of course, on a Thursday morning with Real News with Brian Ross. And, of course, Brian is also associated with the Hotchkiss Library in Sharon. We spoke to him last week about one of the 2.0 summer book signing specials that he was the moderator of. There's another one of those coming up. But good morning, Brian.
Good morning to you, Marshall.
Let's quickly mention you're going to be back at the Hotchkiss Library virtually with another one of those book signing interviews, right?
That's right. Next Friday, July 10th at 7 p.m., Jerry Mitchell, who's written the book Race Against Time. This is an intrepid investigative reporter who's worked his entire career in Mississippi, and he recounts how, really in good part, his efforts helped lead to new investigations that finally brought to justice the killers in four different cases of young black girls at a school in the South, and also civil rights workers who'd come down there, cases that had gone stagnant until he got into it and finally found a way to get them reinvigorated.
Yeah, it should be very interesting. And the great thing about these, even though they're not the book signings, you can actually listen and then participate when you Zoom into these meetings as well and talk with the authors and hear other people talk with the authors as well as Brian.
That's the fun part of it. My first question to Jerry will be, what happened in Mississippi? The state there and the governor signed the bill to retire their flag with the Confederate flag insert in it.
You know, you can also bring this up because I brought this up and saw this morning. This happened in Ohio, and it happened in Ohio this week. A black man who got a job went in to cash his check at a bank for about $1,000. The teller called 911. They refused to cash his check. When he walked out of the bank, he was handcuffed and arrested by police. Now, the police came to find out that, yes, it was a real check. Yes, he was really employed. And the bank said, oh, we've had a lot of fake checks here lately. But that is systemic racism at its that's one example of systemic racism and why people like the author you're going to be interviewing really have done so much to fight systemic racism that originated in one place, but really is basically throughout the country.
Right. Let's not say just Mississippi and Alabama. This exists throughout the country, as we've seen in a variety of different ways, from the woman walking her dog who called the police about an African-American in New York Central Park.
Yeah, it's just it's amazing when you see this. Now, I have to bring this up, and I want to get your opinion on it. Donald Trump's brother, of course, sued to stop the publishing of a book by Trump's niece. And originally there was an injunction put up against it, but a judge ruled yesterday. And this was an interesting ruling, Brian, and I want to get your opinion on it. The ruling wasn't so much in favor of Trump's niece. It was in favor of the publisher. The judge said, listen, the publisher has this amount of money invested in this. The books are already out in the hands of people getting ready to be put on bookshelves, so it's not like the books aren't out there. So he ruled in favor of the publisher and said that basically if the Trumps wanted to pursue this, they could pursue it in another court and seek legal damages against the author for breaking whatever kind
right.
of assignment.
Right. Mary Trump supposedly had a confidential agreement she signed a couple, maybe 20 years ago. She went ahead and wrote this book. In any case, the ruling was, and it's pretty much a landmark, not a landmark, but a standard in a U.S. Jurisprudence, that there is no prior restraint. The publisher, Simon Schuster, said they'd already printed 75,000 books. They're being distributed. The book comes out at the end of July. We're in July now. It's called Too Much and Never Enough, How My Family Created the World's Most Dangerous Man. She has revealed, by the way, that she has been the source for the New York Times for some of the Trump family tax returns. And she's written this book. Trump's very upset. His initial effort to block it was rejected. And then Robert Trump, who we know lives around here, went to a judge in Dutchess County, across the line there, and got a temporary injunction, which now, as you said, the New York State Appellate Court has lifted. against the publisher and saying that people are free to sign confidential agreements. The courts don't necessarily have to enforce them, which allows her to go ahead and do the book. And as with the case with John Bolton, the real effort will be, well, if you signed an agreement not to do it and you did it anyway, then you probably have to pay damages. So it's a question of money, not of whether the right of expression is interfered with.
You know, growing up, every job I've ever had since 1971 I've been a broadcaster. And I've always had to sign agreements with broadcasters until finally I got to one station where I said, so are you going to bring out the form where... And he said, no, because he said, those confidentiality statements are basically only good if you have no money to fight them in court. If you have money to fight them, you can fight them.
So that's another bombshell book that's coming, yeah. And really is an inside look at the Trump family and, as they said, how my family created the world's most dangerous man. We've seen a lot of that on display here. And as you've seen, the polls suggesting what's going to happen in November, while well in advance now, are predicting just a solid repudiation of Donald Trump's presidency.
Well, when you look at the news, and you just the news broke this morning that yesterday, early in the day, the Trump campaign and the Republican National Committee said that Trump and they had raised $131 million. And then last night, the figures came out, the Democratic National Committee and Joe Biden have raised $141 million. It's very rare, very, very rare, that you'll find someone who's not an incumbent outraising an incumbent when you run for the president.
Right. In this case, you know, people are putting their bets, it looks like, on Joe Biden. He's slowly been sort of reemerging, had a pretty good news conference yesterday. Then Trump, of course, went ahead and did, as did the Republicans, and falsely claimed that he was reading his answers from a teleprompter, that he knew the questions in advance, none of which was true, but that didn't stop the president from tweeting about it.
Well, because actually the last person that asked him the question...
Yeah.
It was a Fox reporter.
News, right? So. Cognitive ability. He said, I'm glad to match my cognitive ability with the men I'm running against. So we'll certainly see that. A number of debates are planned, three of them, I think, for the fall, although the University of Michigan, which is going to be the site of one of them, they already pulled out because of COVID-19.
Now, as you sit here in Sharon, Connecticut, Brian, and you take a look out at the country in general and the pandemic, what amazes me, and I don't know if it amazes you or other people as much as it amazes me, is that it seems like the rest of the country did not learn from what Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey went through. Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey went through hell, learned their lessons, and are getting the job done. I am absolutely stunned that elsewhere in the country, including California,
right,
they just didn't learn their lesson from what happened here in the Northeast.
Particularly California stands out to me because their Governor Newsom had done a terrific job of sort of shutting down early, getting the spread under control. And now once it was lifted slightly, it has taken off again. And, you know, primarily it appears to be in places of bars and restaurants where people are gathering is where it's spreading. You know, a lot of people are saying, let's forget about reopening the bars. Let's try to think about reopening the schools this coming fall. That should be the real priority.
Yeah, it's really amazing when you look at this. And as someone who's 67 years old and I look at world news, the news that is coming out of Hong Kong, and I remember years ago, Brian, golfing at the Hotchkiss Golf Course, and this had to be 20 years ago, right before Hong Kong was handed back over to the Chinese, a woman who had a son at Hotchkiss School, I was golfing with her, and we were talking about the Chinese takeover of Hong Kong, and she said back then, she was a very big textile manufacturer, a very wealthy woman. And she said, listen, the Chinese aren't going to do anything in the next 10 to 15 years because they want Hong Kong to be their cash cow. But she did say back then, even then, but much past that, she said, if people think that the mainland China are going to honor the commitments that they made in that agreement with Britain overall, that people were really wrong, because China just doesn't ever follow through on what they agree with. And that's what's happening now. It's very interesting to see how different countries are reacting, like Britain offering British citizenship to hundreds of thousands of people.
And Australia considering it. But overnight, as you probably saw in the news, Marshall, a number of arrests for violations that weren't illegal until this new law was passed speedily by the Chinese, I guess they call the central government there, and now people are being picked up for protesting and for speaking out, and it looks very, very dim there for the people of Hong Kong to expect that their feeling of democracy and their sense of independence in China, that's over. Everybody's going to accept it, and who's going to stop it?
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing, and if anybody has any common sense at all, you'll see the resurgence of China and their economic resurgence and their huge building and their cities growing has all been linked to after Hong Kong started funneling tons of money into China.
Well, absolutely, and you know, whoever the golden rule, whoever the money rules, and certainly in this case, China has asserted its dominance. And the large question for many people in that region is, what happens to Taiwan, the so-called independent island off the mainland there that broke away from China, which China still considers to be part of its territory? That day of reckoning is likely coming, and not too far in the future.
All right, one quick question before we leave. I guess I wanted to find out what you thought about the CIA report that Trump did or did not see as an investigative reporter. I mean,
well, first you can tell that the New York Times has sourced right to the very day, February 27th, that this information was included in what's called the Presidential Daily Briefing. And then we learn the president doesn't read it. He never reads it. So he just, you can't get his attention unless you're speaking with him. And he often goes off on tangents. So I accept that this thing was, certainly from the Times reporting, backed up by the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post and CNN and NBC News have all reported the same thing, that this was the case. There were reports considered quite credible that the Russians were paying, according to the Times this morning, up to $100,000 a person, a head, a bounty on U.S. Service people killed in Afghanistan by the Taliban or by various criminal groups that associate themselves with the Taliban. So that information was being discussed in late 2019 through the early part of this year, up to the point where it reached the president through his daily briefing. Now, his excuse is, I wasn't briefed, meaning no one told me about it. I guess we have to accept he doesn't read this important information, and he's busier watching Fox and Friends in the morning than he is reading his daily brief. I think the information is valid, and I think the effort first by the, as you saw this morning, the effort by the White House was first to deny it, then they said the president didn't in fact get briefed, then they called it a hoax, and now they're saying it's really the fault of the one female CIA officer who's in charge of the briefing, that she didn't bring it up. It's all her fault. So it's a classic Trump White House playbook, you know, deny, reflect, deflect, and blame somebody else.
All right. Well, once again, folks, Brian, once again, a week from tomorrow, hosting one of those incredible 2.0 book signing Zoom-ins at the Hotchkiss Library. More information, it's absolutely free to join in, hotchkisslibrary.org. Brian, we'll speak to you again next week.
And next week, let's talk about Boogaloo.
Oh, okay. That sounds good to me.
All righty.
All right. Take care, Brian.
Bye.
Brian Ross, here on Robinhood Radio.